On March 27, 2026, the screens of 95 million software developers didn't just suddenly go black.
Right. No obvious disaster.
Exactly. There were no klaxons sounding in security operations centers and, you know, no ransom notes popping up on their monitors.
Just business as usual on the surface.
Yeah. But quietly, in the background, the very tools they trusted to keep their code secure were actively handing over the master keys to their internal networks.
Which is just a terrifying thought.
It really is.
Yeah.
And the craziest part, the malware that executed this silent takeover was, well, largely written by an AI.
Yeah, that is a kicker.
Welcome to the deep dive. If you're joining us today, you are likely already aware of the massive shifts happening in tech. But yeah, whether you're a developer, a tech executive, or simply someone trying to make sense of the AI explosion, this breakdown is totally essential.
Definitely. You need to hear this.
Today, our mission is to dissect a startling cybersecurity alert and a highly detailed technical blog post published by Divya. This is on March 27, 2026. And the source outlines a staggering supply chain attack engineered by a hacker group known as Team PCP.
A very sophisticated group.
Okay, let's unpack this. The scale we are looking at is difficult to overstate. I mean, we are talking about 95 million developers worldwide exposed.
It's massive.
The blast radius is so severe that the FBI Cyber Division actually issued a formal security advisory on this very day.
Yeah, and the methodology here is what makes this a watershed moment in cybersecurity because, you know, Hollywood has trained everyone to picture massive hacks as these brute force network intrusions.
Right, like hackers in hoodies furiously typing in a dark room.
Exactly. We imagine attackers frantically typing complex zero-day exploits to smash through a firewall, but this was nothing like that.
Not at all.
Team PCP didn't break down the front door of 95 million developers. They exploited a fundamental vulnerability in modern software architecture, which is unverified trust.
Unverified trust, yeah.
They weaponized the routine open source dependencies that development teams, well, they just pull them into their environments every single day without a second thought.
Which completely changes the entire threat landscape for anyone listening.
Absolutely.
We're going to reveal the specific mechanics of how they pulled this off. And perhaps most alarmingly, how the very AI assistants we're all adopting were, you know, used against us to write the malware.
Yeah, the AI angle is wild.
But to grasp how you go from a single point of failure to 95 million compromised machines,
yeah,
we have to trace the domino effect. The attackers engineered a cascading failure.
Right, a two-phase supply chain attack.
Exactly. Let's look at phase one. It all starts with a tool called Trivi.
Yeah, so Trivi is a highly respected open source vulnerability scanner. It's maintained by Aqua Security.
Okay.
Development and security teams rely on it heavily to continuously scan their container images, their file systems, and code repositories for known vulnerabilities.
So it's security guard.
Basically, yeah. To use an analogy that maps to a modern software pipeline, think of a massive automotive assembly line.
Okay, I'm with you.
You don't manufacture your own microchips for the navigation system, right? You buy them from a specialized supplier.
Sure.
Trivi is the trusted inspector on the factory floor, checking every single microchip before it goes into the car.
But instead of attacking the heavily guarded main factory, Team PCP compromised the inspector.
Exactly. They went for the guard.
And the source notes, they specifically targeted the community open source version of Trivi. I want to be clear here. The commercial platform by Aqua Security was completely uncompromised.
Right. Very important distinction.
Only the open source version was hit. But how do you actually compromise a security scanner without triggering its own alarms? I mean, it's designed to catch this stuff.
Well, they didn't rewrite Trivi's core code initially. They altered the room the code was running in.
Wait, what does that mean?
So Team PCP deployed an automated agent that manipulated Trivi's execution environment. Software relies on environment variables. It's essentially the invisible underlying instruction manual the software reads when it boots up, telling it where to find certain files or how to authenticate.
Oh, I see.
By injecting malicious parameters into these environment variables, they force Trivi into an unintended debug state.
Sneaky.
Very. And when the scanner crashed or logged an error, it dumped its active memory into a public-facing log file.
Wow.
And that active memory contained its own GitHub authentication keys.
So they basically turned the scanner inside out and made it spill its own secrets onto the floor.
That is exactly what happened. And the fallout from that memory dump was immediate.
Because they had the keys now.
Right. Once Team PCP scraped those stolen GitHub keys from the logs, they gained right access to the Trivi public repository.
Oh, no.
Yeah. They took a backdoor to malware-laced version of the Trivi tool and just pushed it out as an official update.
I have to challenge the scale here, though. I mean, Trivi is popular, sure, but it isn't universally installed on 95 million individual laptops.
That's true.
A vulnerability scanner being compromised is bad, but it doesn't instantly equate to an FBI-level alert across the entire global tech sector.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, we enter phase two.
Okay, phase two.
Phase one was merely a stepping stone. Team PCP never intended to stop at the security scanner.
They were aiming higher.
Much higher. They understood the nature of downstream dependencies. They knew Trivi was a trusted, deeply embedded tool used in the pipelines of other massive frameworks.
Right.
The actual target was a framework called LightHellLM.
Oh, wow. LightHellM is the linchpin here.
Huge target.
For anyone dealing with artificial intelligence architecture, LightHellM is an incredibly powerful open source AI gateway.
Right, it's everywhere right now.
If you are building an application and you want to seamlessly route requests between GPT-5, Anthropic's Claude, and Google Gemini without rewriting your entire code base for each API, you use LightHellM.
Exactly.
It provides a single unified interface. It is the connective tissue for modern AI development.
And the value of that connective tissue makes it a prime target. Consider how LightHellM is built.
Okay.
The maintainers of LightHellM use automated pipelines to test and package their code, and they used Trivi to scan their own builds for vulnerabilities.
Oh, man.
Yeah. When LightHellM's automated systems spun up to run their routine daily checks, they unknowingly reached out and downloaded the compromised backdoored version of Trivi that Team PCP had poisoned.
So the infected microchip just bypassed the inspector and rolled right onto the assembly line.
It did. And the malware woke up the moment that infected Trivi instance executed inside LightHellM's highly privileged build environment.
Did it shut them down?
No, it didn't encrypt files or demand a ransom. It operated with complete stealth.
Just watching?
Basically. The script simply scanned the environment, located LightHellM's package publishing credentials, and exfiltrated those tokens back to a command and control server run by Team PCP.
So Team PCP leapfrogged. They used Trivi's keys to steal LightHellM's keys. And with those publishing tokens, they pushed a malware-laced release of LightHellM to the global public distribution registries.
And that is the moment of impact.
This is where the trap snaps shut on the end user. The source really highlights the devastating role of auto-updates here.
Auto-updates are a double-edged sword.
Developers worldwide have their dependency managers configured to blindly accept the latest stable release.
Right, just to save time.
When the poisoned version of LightHellM hit the registry, millions of systems downloaded the infected package automatically.
We have built incredibly efficient pipelines to make software deployment frictionless. But automating the retrieval of third-party code without rigorous cryptographic verification means you are actively automating your own infection.
Wow.
The attackers literally weaponized the very efficiency of modern DevOps.
Pulling off a multi-stage infiltration like that requires a terrifying amount of coding skill, right?
Yeah.
And usually months of reconnaissance.
Oh, absolutely.
Writing custom malware that can quietly execute in an environment, dump memory, scrape credentials, and exfiltrate data without tripping cloud security alarms. That is tedious, highly specialized work.
Very tedious.
But the timeline in Divya's report shows Team PCP moved impossibly fast. Here's where it gets really interesting.
His part is wild.
They moved at that speed because they used AI to attack AI.
What's fascinating here is the sheer irony of it all.
Totally.
Team PCP didn't just target the AI development ecosystem. They utilized its own flagship products to orchestrate the breach.
Which is insane.
A representative from the threat group actually confirmed they utilized Anthropic's Claude to generate specific complex components of the malware.
Wait, a claim like that immediately raises red flags for me.
Sure, I did that.
If I log into an enterprise-grade LLM, like Claude and type, please write me a lateral movement script to compromise an AWS environment. The system safety guardrails are going to trigger instant.
Absolutely would block you.
It will refuse the prompt and likely flag my account. How did they bypass safeguards that companies spend tens of millions of dollars building?
Threat actors bypass those safeguards through a technique called modularity.
Modularity.
If you ask an AI to construct an entire malicious payload, it recognizes the intent and shuts you down immediately.
Right.
But if you isolate the request into generic, highly specific programming tasks, the AI lacks the context to recognize the broader threat.
So instead of asking for a bank-robbing robot, you ask it to design a highly efficient lock-picking mechanism for a generic steel door.
That is a perfect analogy. The prompt engineering is incredibly deceptive here.
How so?
They might frame the request to Claude as a system administrator trying to recover lost access.
Ah, clever.
They ask the AI to write a Python script that silently searches a local directory for files ending in .pem or containing the word token, and then formats those strings into an encrypted text file.
That sounds pretty innocent.
Exactly. In isolation, that looks like a benign, albeit slightly unusual, administrative backup task.
Right.
So the AI generates flawless code in seconds. The human hackers then stitch those harmless-looking modules together into a weaponized payload.
The source gets specific about the exact modules Claude generated. They used it to write lateral movement scripts,
which are very hard to write.
Right. In a cloud architecture, lateral movement is complex. If you compromise a single container, you have to figure out how to grab an IAM role, basically an identity token, and use it to hop to another server or access an S3 bucket.
Yep.
Claude wrote the code to automate that token hopping. They also used it to write the credential harvesting scripts that hunted down the GitHub keys.
And offloading that highly technical grunt work to an AI assistant massively compresses the operational timeline.
Because they aren't writing it from scratch.
Right. Drafting, testing, and debugging lateral movement scripts for different cloud environments takes human hackers weeks.
Claude does it in moments.
Exactly. Team PCP strapped a jet engine onto their malware development cycle. They completely outpaced traditional human-led defense timelines.
Okay, so we know the mechanics of the domino effect, and we know they weaponized AI to accelerate the attack.
Yes.
But to understand the true threat this poses to anyone managing a network right now, we have to look at the motive.
The why.
Why target an AI gateway like LidoLM? What is the actual business model here?
Well, the modern dark web economy operates on specialization.
Okay.
The source introduces a critical concept here. The initial access broker.
Initial access broker.
Right. Team PCP is not typically the group that deploys crippling ransomware to shut down a hospital or wipe a bank's servers.
They aren't the ones asking for Bitcoin.
Usually not. They operate strictly as the lock pickers. Their entire enterprise is built on infiltrating a network, establishing a quiet, persistent back door, and then monetizing that unauthorized access.
So they act as the scout team. They break the window, prop open the back door, and then head to a dark web forum to auction off the address to the highest bidder.
You've got it. The initial access broker model creates two distinct revenue streams. First, they auction the network access to dedicated ransomware syndicates who specialize in the loud, destructive phase of an attack.
Right.
Second, they can engage in direct extortion, approaching the victim organization and demanding a massive payout simply to disclose how they breached the perimeter, accompanied by the threat of publishing the sensitive data they found.
But the question remains, why is the AI sector suddenly the prime target?
It's where the money is.
But a bank has direct liquid assets. Why go after a company building an LLM gateway?
Because AI infrastructure is currently the most valuable digital real estate on the planet.
Really?
Oh, without a doubt. The assets contained within an AI company are staggering. You have proprietary models that require tens of millions of dollars in compute power just to train.
That makes sense.
You have colossal, highly sensitive training data sets that might contain proprietary corporate data. And crucially, as we saw with LidoLM, you have massive downstream reach.
Because LidoLM is a gateway. If you compromise the router everyone uses to talk to OpenAI or Google, you essentially establish a listening post into the data streams of every single Fortune 500 company using that gateway.
The downstream reach is the ultimate prize for an initial access broker.
I bet.
Furthermore, the AI ecosystem is incredibly vulnerable right now due to its velocity. Developers are under immense pressure from their boards to integrate generative AI features immediately.
Everyone wants AI right now.
Right. When a tool like LidoLM solves the complex problem of routing multiple APIs, developers adopt it overnight.
They just plug it in.
And in that frantic rush to deploy, rigorous security audits are an afterthought. The culture of security is trailing far behind the speed of adoption.
So what does this all mean for the people actually building this technology?
It's a wake-up call.
If we are operating in a reality where the open source tools we rely on can be poisoned and the automated pipelines we built to save time are actively distributing malware, how does a team function without grinding to a halt?
This raises an important question about balancing velocity with security.
Yeah, how do you balance that?
You cannot simply abandon open source tools. Doing so would paralyze modern software development.
Obviously.
However, the foundational paradigm has to shift. The source outlines several uncompromising steps organizations must take immediately, and this is drawing on incident response data from Google Mandiant and infrastructure firm Technigian.
Let's debate the reality of implementing these defenses, because they sound great on paper, but they introduce massive friction.
They do, but it's necessary friction.
The first directive is to stop storing plain text secrets. I mean, the entire Team PCP attack succeeded because they found static GitHub tokens just sitting in environment variables.
Leaving API keys in plain text is the equivalent of leaving the combination to the vault written on a sticky note attached to the door.
Right.
Organizations have to implement dedicated secrets management infrastructure platforms like HashiCorp Vault, AWS Secrets Manager, or Azure Key Vault.
Okay.
These systems ensure credentials are encrypted, injected only at runtime, and rotated continuously.
But the pushback from developers is always about speed.
Always.
Setting up HashiCorp Vault, configuring the access policies, and rewriting the code base to fetch tokens at runtime instead of just dropping a key into a configuration file that takes days, sometimes weeks.
It does.
When the product manager is demanding a new feature by Friday, security gets bypassed.
But that exact prioritization of short-term speed over fundamental security is what exposed 95 million developers.
That's a fair point.
The second major directive attacks the auto-update problem, and that is applying a zero-trust philosophy to the software supply chain.
Zero trust.
Development teams must stop treating third-party updates as implicitly safe.
Which means turning off the blind latest stable release auto-pulls.
Exactly.
You have to pin your dependencies to specific cryptographically verified versions, but again, the friction there is immense.
It's a lot of work.
Reviewing the change log and checking the checksum of every single micro dependency before allowing an update into the production environment is practically a full-time job.
A dedicated DevSecOps team absorbing that friction is vastly preferable to an entire customer base downloading a backdoored AI gateway.
Yeah, when you put it that way.
The final pillar of defense relies on rigorous behavioral auditing. The malware in this attack was designed to be stealthy, but it still has to operate within a host environment.
But if the script is modular and looks like a benign administrative task, what anomalies are security teams actually hunting for in the logs?
Well, the incident report reveals that this breach was ultimately discovered not by a sophisticated heuristic antivirus, but because the malicious payload contained a slight bug.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The malware caused widespread, unexpected memory crashes in the affected build environments.
Interesting.
When engineers investigated the core dumps from those crashes, they found the unauthorized credential scraping.
So the malware tripped over its own shoelaces.
Essentially, yes.
But waiting for the attacker to make a coding error isn't exactly a viable defense strategy.
No, not at all. Security teams must monitor for behavioral anomalies. You look for unusual outbound network connections originating from your build environments.
Yeah.
For example, a vulnerability scanner like Trivy should never suddenly attempt to establish a connection with an unknown IP address in a foreign jurisdiction.
Right. That makes zero sense.
You also monitor for unexplained credential rotation events or requests to your secrets manager occurring at 3 a.m. when no deployment is scheduled.
The takeaway for anyone listening is stark. Open source innovations like LittleM are phenomenal tools that solve massive architectural headaches.
Truly phenomenal.
But they must be integrated with a mindset of profound skepticism. You have to enforce least privilege access, mandate secrets management, and monitor your pipelines for any microscopic deviation in behavior.
The era of implicit trust in software dependencies is permanently over.
Let's quickly retrace the path of this deep dive before we wrap up.
Yeah.
We examined a flawlessly executed supply chain attack where a ubiquitous vulnerability scanner, Trivy, was manipulated into leaking its own master keys.
All right.
Those keys were weaponized to poison the scanner, which was subsequently pulled into the automated build environment of LandTelMM, a critical AI gateway.
And the malware then quietly extracted LandTelMM's publishing credentials, enabling Team PCP to push a backdoored version of the gateway to the public registries.
Which is how they hit everyone.
Exactly, exposing 95 million developers who relied on automated updates.
And the most chilling detail, at least for me, the attackers drastically compressed their timeline by using Anthropic's Claude to write the lateral movement and credential harvesting scripts.
Using modular prompt engineering to bypass the guardrails.
Exactly. Yeah. But before we sign off, I want to leave you with a final thought that builds on this entire ordeal.
The speed of this attack is really what lingers for me.
Yeah.
We noted that Team PCP used AI to rapidly generate flawless malware components, completely outpacing traditional human defense mechanisms. If attackers are successfully using AI to write code, evade detection, and execute supply chain infections at this unprecedented velocity, are we rapidly approaching an era where human security analysts simply cannot react fast enough?
It's a daunting prospect. I mean, will the future of cybersecurity require us to hand over our defensive infrastructure entirely to autonomous AI agents?
We might have to.
Are we inevitably moving toward a reality characterized by a silent, ongoing war of machines fighting machines deep inside our software updates while human engineers are reduced to mere spectators hoping our AI is faster than theirs?
It's definitely a possibility.
That is definitely something to chew on the next time your system prompts you to install the latest update. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Take a hard look at your dependency trees, lock down your automated pipelines, and stay curious. We will catch you on the next one.